from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, welcome back into the show. Someone just texted in. Today is my husband's 70th birthday. He listens every day. Can you wish him a happy birthday? Of course. Happy birthday to Steve joining us on the show. I appreciate you listening and making us a part of your day. Let's head to Lawrence, Kansas right now to be joined by the athletic director. His name is Travis Goff. Very happy to have him join us on the show today to catch up with KU dealings.
Hey, great to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, Travis. We appreciate you joining us on the show today. Let's just start with this. You know, it's been a wild 3-4 years for you as the athletic director at KU. I mean, your first month on the job, you were tabled with finding a head coach at KU. You then hire Lance Leipold. That has obviously worked out very well for everybody. During this process, when did you know that Lance was the one?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think there was a particular striking moment. I think that's one of the things that always kind of separated Lance. I think from the very onset, just based on reputation, things we had heard kind of out there in the industry about him, his profile, his approach, you know, his personality, all those types of things, it showed itself the first time we visited with him. And then over the course of a couple weeks search on a multiple discussions, both Zoom in person, he, you know, continued to bring that. I mean, he just was consistent from start to finish. Great confidence, but not in any kind of way that was over the top, you know, via ego and all those other good things. And at the end of the day, it was about fit, and he wanted to be at the University of Kansas. And here we are just over three years in, and obviously he's done some special things.
Travis, what made you, I guess, take this chance that you took with Lance? Because, I mean, he was a little bit of an older candidate, had never coached in a Power 5. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, people in your position, they hire the hotshot 37-year-old offensive coordinator or quarterback coach. That's not the direction that you went. You know, it was a pretty bold choice. It has obviously paid off big. What made you go in this direction during the search?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing before even getting into candidates was, where has KU been? What has been the candidate profile we've tried in the past over a multitude of attempts, so to speak? And maybe why did or why didn't those pan out in the right fashion ultimately? And I think there was an exercise of just saying, hey, let's make sure we learn from our history. And, you know, that started to maybe trim or narrow profiles to a reasonable extent. That's not the reason to hire somebody, but it surely can help you understand that this other type of profile maybe hadn't fit as well. And the other thing I would say, you know, I quite frankly, it really felt like a low risk hire. And here's why is because from what he had done at Wisconsin Whitewater, I mean, you're talking dynasty type level, you know, outcomes, 6 national champions, first head coach in college football to 100 wins, on and on. At the end of the day, if you allow yourself to go, okay, well, that's D3. That's not the same level. But we're talking, if you put it on apples to apples playing field, what he had done there, without any kind of real just ingrained advantages in terms of the competition they were facing in Wisconsin Whitewater, you're pretty wowed by that. And so you want to understand that. And then you say, okay, then he goes to Buffalo, first Division I job in his long, successful career. And you try and understand as much as possible about Buffalo, what makes it, you know, a challenging job and challenging environment. And there are you know, plenty of things that are relevant in that regard. And then how did his build and his process look there? And you can start to see some similarities and connectivity. And he'd then done it at that Division I level of building a dynasty Division III. And we just felt like how few of them out there have that kind of track record.
Right now, we're talking to Travis Goff. He is the athletic director at the University of Kansas. Travis, I expected you guys to be ranked preseason. I'm sure you did as well, but it had to be a great feeling when you open up your phone or you get somebody to send you the link that you guys are ranked preseason 25. Obviously, you have to live up to it over the course of the season, but for people around the country to acknowledge this turnaround and have really high expectations for the football program has to be a very rewarding feeling.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely does. I mean, that's got to be validated out there because whether it be the coaches or the media, they know their stuff, right? So they've definitely taken a lot of things into account and placing their votes. And I think it feels a little different than, let's say, you know, an early good start to a season, and it's a storyline for week 4 or 5 or whatever it might be. We've had that in the last couple of years. It's been fantastic. It's been exciting. But to have the validity and have demonstrated that this is a real thing, to now have 3 straight years of ranked top 25 football in Lawrence, I think does take it to another level.
Right now, we're talking to Travis Goff. He is the AD at the University of Kansas. Happy to have him join us on the show. I'm sure you've been asked about this thousands and thousands of times. I'm going to ask you for the 1,001 time here. This is a very unique football season for you guys from the standpoint of where your home games are going to be. Some games are going to be at Sporting Park. Some games are going to be at Arrowhead. How difficult is it to try to maintain that college feel and that college environment with students, even though you're not going to be on campus?
Yeah, no, it is a great question. And obviously, two incredible venues. I mean, in their sports, right, both from an MLS and an NFL perspective, you're talking about two of the great venues in our country, and that's really exciting. And, of course, we love the fact that it's right there in Kansas City, on both sides of that state line, you know, a market that we feel strongly is not just vital for KU, but also one that rises to the occasion for KU. In terms of trying to, you know, create elements of the home field kind of collegiate experience, we think they each bring something different to it. I mean, obviously it's Sporting. You're 21,000 jammed in there. You've got the cauldron kind of now behind the end zone. We can all envision what that's going to feel like with our students jammed in. You've got standing room only kind of on the back of the end zones there up on the concourse. I mean, it's going to be loud. For 21,000 people, it is going to be rocking in those first 2 games out there at Children's Mercy. So that's going to be exciting. I know our guys are going to feed off of that, and our fans will feed off of that. And then you get to Arrowhead, and you're talking about home of the 2-time back-to-back world champs. I mean, there's not a greater team in the sport of football playing than the Chiefs, and we get to utilize and capitalize off their field and off of some of that energy. And we're excited because we know our students are going to rise to that challenge, and we know, you know, confident our fans are going to rise to that challenge. So they'll each feel different. Neither of them are going to replicate certainly a college town environment, but we think there's a lot of positives in that as well.
How hard was doing the tickets for that game at Sporting Park? Obviously, at Arrowhead, there's enough space for everybody to get in. That's not going to be the case at Sporting. Like, you're going to tell somebody no in regards to wanting to come to the game and support you guys' product. How difficult was that? And also, do you guys have a plan in place to help students get to the games, whether it's at Sporting Park or at Arrowhead?
Yeah, yes, sir. I mean, I think, first of all, just on that point, absolutely. We've got, I think, is probably the most robust busing program in modern, or maybe ever, in college athletics in terms of providing busing options and solutions for our students. So that is rolled out, and the students are taking that in, and we'll be signing up to tap into it for both Sporting and out at Arrowhead. And so that's been received really well, and I'm really excited about and thankful for the staff who worked so hard to put that all together. There's going to be a way for every student to get to those games, one. And then two, let's see, Carrington, where were you on that? What was that first part of that question?
No, so the first part was about tickets and just telling people and then also just how difficult it's going to be to get people to the games. Cause, you know, on campus, I mean, I've been to KU's games before, been to a lot of games. Yeah. People can easily walk there to the games. They tailgate there. It's a great atmosphere. You guys are going to obviously try to help people get to the games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think on the ticket front, I mean, listen, for I guess it's been well over a year, we've been saying pretty clearly that unless you're a season ticket holder, and I'm talking about a season ticket holder last year in 2023, you're probably not going to have an opportunity to be in a condensed venue, whether that had been in Lawrence when we were to try and play through some of the construction here, or now being at Children's Mercy. And so we've done, I think, a pretty good job of getting out in front and making sure that message was well understood and received. And I think our people have not just risen to the challenge in terms of growth in season ticket sales, but they've understood that as well. So if you didn't get your opportunity at Children's Mercy, there's four great games at Arrowhead. We've got a four-game package that really ends up being kind of a mini season ticket package for just the Arrowhead game. So everybody's got that opportunity. Now, we obviously have had to kind of squeeze to some extent the student access for those Children's Mercy games, but it won't feel that way. It's going to feel like a really nice student section in there.
Where are you guys at, I guess, in progress development for the new stadium and the renovations? I was just playing the college football video game earlier today. It looks beautiful on screen. I know you're obviously excited about the changes that are coming to the stadium around the football program. Where are you guys at in that project?
Yeah, we are on schedule and we are on budget. So I got to knock on wood because, I've learned that you can't take either of those things for granted. Now, the schedule, continues to be super condensed. That was obviously the case from the jump. We had, about as ambitious schedule and timeline as you can possibly have of a project of this magnitude, $450 million. But they're working really hard out there on that site, double shift, 7 days a week in essence, but, basically when it's all said and done. And we're literally 1 year out from opening that new venue. It'll be week zero. We've got Fresno State coming to town, and we'll have a lot of eyes nationally on that in week zero, and we'll have obviously a full house and a ton of energy in the new David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium. So we're really pleased with both schedule and budget. And it's about, getting to that particular finish line. Now, the other part of that is it's not the total finish line. We've got a second phase, which is the remaining east side and some of the development components on that east and northeast of the Gateway District that we're really continuing to work hard on in terms of partnering with the right developers, continuing with the fundraising momentum, our fans continuing to step up and make sure they're buying our premium products and demonstrate that there's some demand and interest in a future east side as well.
Right now, we're talking to the athletic director at KU for a couple more minutes here. Travis, could you have imagined if I told you 3 years ago that heading into the year that there would be more excitement for KU football than KU basketball? I mean, we're talking about a KU basketball team that could be ranked preseason number one. And at least maybe it's just me reading the text line. Maybe it's just my excitement for college football. I think there's a little bit more hype and buzz around this football team just because you guys really have a chance to win this league. You have a chance to go to the playoff. You have a chance to do things that no KU football team has ever done before.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously this has got a chance to be a pretty special year for KU. And you think about those two marquee programs, basketball will have one remarkable and exciting roster. Some of the guys who've helped build that program, some of the guys that were part of cutting down those nets, just a couple years ago, and then adding some new faces. So that's going to be a ton of fun. And we've got incredibly energized Bill Self at the helm. So that's an exciting one in and of itself. I think part of it is, hey, that's kind of always been a given, right? That's a regular occurrence to have some kind of that kind of energy around the basketball program at KU. Adding football into this equation is a little bit of a new dynamic. We certainly had excitement going into last year, coming off our first bowl appearance in a long time. But we haven't seen anything like this, no question. You got to go way back. You got to go back to 08 and that bridge into 09. And I think part of it, too, I think, which is important to note, is our fans have had a chance to get to know these guys, right? I mean, we have guys who've been part of this build every step of the way that are leaders on this team. These are personalities and young men that our fans care about. They know the story. They know the grind they've kind of been through. They know the commitment they've had to KU. And I think that adds a whole nother layer of interest to it as well.
Last question here. I am curious, just, you know, everybody has to allocate their day. You know, use this percentage of the day dealing with this thing. How much of your day now as an athletic director is spent around NIL and trying to make sure that you guys are very competitive with Kentucky for basketball, or really competitive with Iowa State in football, and just making sure that your athletic department is as healthy as it can be? How much of your day is just solely centered around NIL?
That's a heck of a question. It always varies, but I'll use this example. And this may be a little bit of an anomaly, but it's real-time example of this week. So today's Tuesday. Yesterday, Monday, we had all of our NIL partners in town, kind of a mini NIL summit. So we partner with about three different kind of outside entities to put together the totality of our NIL program here at KU. All three of their leadership were in town. We probably had a cumulative 6 or 7 hours worth of sessions talking about where we're at and talking about where we're heading in an evolved landscape. And so that was really a huge focal point for many of us, the leadership in this department, our on-the-ground level NIL staff, fundraisers, et cetera. And then today, woke up early, jumped on a plane, went to Chicago, and that visit was solely about growing NIL support for Kansas athletics. And so there's about a day and a half's worth of just demonstrating not just how important it is at KU, but how important it is, you know, in this industry at large.
It's funny because, I mean, for so long, there were so many conversations about only this being a good thing for men basketball players and football players. I think what we've seen is the growth has really helped women's sports, that has just made certain players more marketable than ever before. Like, when you look at Caitlin Clark's rise, I don't know if that would have been as possible pre-NIL, but I think what we've seen the biggest growth in, whether it's Olivia Dunn, the gymnast from LSU, Caitlin Clark, there's countless of examples. I think the NIL has really helped women athletes and really put them in a brand star potential.
Yeah, no, there's no question, because one of the things it's done is it's helped us all ensure that we have the right kind of resources to tell our student-athlete stories. And those stories have to extend beyond the traditional mechanisms that athletic departments have had for a long time. And, you know, name, image, and likeness, and leaning into that has really broadened that reach. And so there's so many great stories. You know, certainly not, there aren't a ton of Caitlin Clarks or Olivia Dunns or so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, there are a lot of young women in this industry that are getting great experience, right? It is about dollars, but it's also about kind of lifelong learnings around how you present your personal brand, how you step out of your comfort zone to take advantage of opportunities and stretch yourself. And I think, Any student athlete that's involved in the NIL space is going through and experiencing that. And by the way, it's adding a whole nother swath to their complicated full schedules, right? And so here we go with this notion of time management, how to allocate the right amount of time and energy to their sport, to academics, now name, image, and likeness, all those other great things. So we're grateful for it. It's a great thing for the industry. We've got change coming likely with this House case and some likely new direction with a revenue share program that could be just a year away. But in the meantime, we all got to keep our foot on the gas.
That is Travis Goff joining us on the show today. He is the athletic director at the University of Kansas. They have a big football season coming up. They are ranked in the top 25. And also, you know, basketball is always a big deal in Lawrence, Kansas, as they look to get back to the Final Four and win the national championships. Travis, it was great talking to you today, man. Thanks a lot for hopping on today.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Have a great day and rock chalk.
Absolutely. That is Travis Goff joining us on the show today. Happy to have him on the show. If you are a KU fan, I feel really confident that guy was in charge of stuff. He seemed like he was really on the ball. I just, as a college fan, I don't say if I'm a college football fan. I am a college football fan. What I want my athletic director to really understand is how to raise money. That's what you need to compete at the level that KU is trying to compete in. Now, there's other things that go into it. You have to get it right at head coach the way that they've gotten it right. But we are in a pay-for-play kind of business right now with name, image, and likeness. And I'm not saying that every kid is going out there to get every single dollar possible. That's not the case. But if you were trying to keep Devin Neal at Kansas for one more year the way that they did, you know the best way to do that? Pay him. We can talk about this openly now. It doesn't have to be some hush-hush bag man. No. We want you to return to Kansas. We are going to make it extremely competitive. Go get the information that you need. You're going to be a fourth-round pick. We can give you fourth-round pick money next year to come back and play football at KU. So if you're Kansas and you want to keep competing at the absolute highest level in basketball and you want to compete with the Kentuckys and Arkansas now with Calipari and UConn, it costs money to do that. If you want to continue to grow your football program, it costs money to do that. I want my athletic director to understand that and be fully on board with it. That's what I just heard.
You know, first of all, I'm surprised you didn't even mention that he said rock chalk, you know, at the end there. You didn't even touch that, which...
I mean, you thought I was... Come on now.
I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, now. You had an opportunity to just end that right there, but now we're going to get that in the text line and... We got to deal
with
that.
You thought I was going to say it back to him?
This happened on the drive.
I'm not. What am I about to do? I'm not dapping you up when you say rock chalk to me. No, get off the phone. I'm not dapping
you
up.
See, that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for you to say that.
I enjoyed talking to him. He was great. He's welcome on the show whenever. I ain't saying rock chalk back to him.
I know.
I will say Emaw. You get Gene Taylor on the show, I'll say Emaw. You get Chris Kleiman on the show. He's coming on the show next week. I'll say Iman. I ain't saying rock chalk to nobody. Rihanna could be over there. I ain't saying rock chalk to her. Absolutely not.
I just got to play. I got to play the Rob-esque. You know, I got to make sure that we get that in there. Okay. In terms of NIL, and I think that's a good point you bring up, that it's not just going to help men's sports, especially the big two moneymakers, that it is helping women's sports. And it is... If you're not a huge college sports fan like me, like I follow all three of the local schools just because I'm interested in college sports, but I don't have like a single team. I went to a D2 school, didn't grow up in a house that followed college football that closely. So I follow all three of the local schools. And this year is going to be more interesting than ever because you have Missouri, who has a chance to be, you know, in the end in the SEC. And you've got KU and K-State, who both are coming off of good years and are looking to expand on what they did. So, you know, we're so lucky to be in the market that we are because all three local college football teams are good. The Chiefs are going to be good and are great. The Royals are making a move for the playoff. But like, this is just a great time to be in the Kansas City media market.
I want to play one thing for you guys, and we're going to have our guy Aaron Ladd join us here in a bit. I'll ask him this question. So earlier today, we heard from Dave Toe. He's the special teams coach for the Chiefs. And he said that he is going to be pounding the table to make sure that Nico Remigio makes the team. He likes him on special teams, wants him to be in the kick return mix. Well, that don't sound good for Kadarius Toney. We had Nate Taylor join us live. We were at Kauffman Stadium yesterday. Here's what he said about KT.
I'm highly disappointed that Kadarius Toney is healthy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And didn't really get better as training camp in the preseason. It's not great, man. He's so talented, but I just think it's a wrap. I know the Chiefs are probably calling teams to be like, hey, 6th round pick, 7th round pick, pick swap. And I don't know if anybody's going to bite on that sort of trade offer, even though Kadarius is healthy and he's talented, but I don't think he's making this team.
I told you guys this yesterday. I don't want Kadarius Toney anywhere in the Kansas City metropolitan area. I don't want him in the 816. I don't want him in the 913, the 660, 785. Maybe I'm missing an area code. I don't want him there either. I want him to go back to Florida. I want him as far away from this team as possible. I don't want him to hurt them anymore. Yes, Kadarius Toney made a play in the Super Bowl. They have had an entire season since then. They have had an entire season in which they played 21 games. They played 21 games last year. Do you remember a play last season from Kadarius Toney? A positive one.
That's what I was getting ready to jump in.
I can think of some negative ones. Do you remember a play last year from Kadarius Toney? It's over. I would say it was a good run. It wasn't. But you know what? I will never fault them for making the trade. They had an extra third round pick. They took a chance on a guy who was a first round talent and it didn't work. The game is the game. You win some and you lose some. I don't have any problem with the trade. I am not telling you that they lost the trade. I still think they won the trade because of the punt return. I still think that, even though I think that the punt return is a little bit overvalued because of how the rest of the game played itself out. But I'm telling you that it's time to walk away from the table. It's over with Kadarius Toney. And the comments today from Dave Tobe, I think, highlight that even more. This was your chance to say, I'm fighting for X, Y, and Z. When the special teams coach tells you who he's fighting for, and that when they start to get in those rooms and start to debate who's going to make this team and who's not making the team, that his name's not going to be in your mouth, it goes to show you, yeah, your time with this team is probably nearing its end. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined in studio by our guy Aaron Ladd from KSHB 41 News. That's next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
He thinks he's internet famous.
Smoking on the Joe Burrow.
Smoking on the Joe Burrow.
How's it feel to be headed back to Super Bowl?
It feels great.
But you have no idea who he is. It's Aaron Ladd, and he joins The Drive with CDOT.
All right, before we introduce Aaron Ladd, let me do a couple of station notes. If you were texting the old number, stop. I am not reading it. I do not have it open. We do not use that number anymore. So I know you've been feverishly calling me Chargers Dot on the old text line. No one is reading it. If you want to call me Chargers Dot, there's a new number to do that. 913-586-7965. 813-586-7965. So save that number in your phone. Keep it. If you want to text, hey, Carrington, and want me to reply, I'm happy to do that. I
got a better idea on what they can send you in. I got something they can text you.
Okay, can I finish my part and then you can have your part? Let me finish my part and then it's your turn. All right. That's part number one. Part number two is I would like for you to sign up for Survivor. So I want you to email 965thedrive@gmail.com. You will get an email. It will bounce back. It will give you all the information. Someone said, hey, Carrington, what's the password? It's in the all the tools you need to sign up for Survivor are in the email that you were going to get bounced back. So email 965thedrive@gmail.com. It will tell you the prizes. It will give you the rules. Literally everything you need for success is right there in the email. Aaron Ladd joins us in the studio today. Aaron Ladd, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. It's actually a very big day for us.
It is a big day. Today is my 36th birthday, and today is your 28th birthday.
28th birthday. Let's
go. Have the same birthday.
Why are you not so excited?
I'm just not a birthday individual.
Like, I got a lot of energy. I'm smiling. I'm standing up.
I've never seen that shirt before from you.
This is because I'm in the trees today.
Yeah, I can see. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that. Can I bring this to the table really quickly before we get to very serious sports things?
Is this birthday related?
Kind of.
Okay.
So, Quentin, I have something called the ticket fairy. The ticket fairy comes through. More times than not. It comes through more times than not, right? So Aaron Ladd has been a big beneficiary of...
Every once in a while.
The Ticket Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to go see Bad Bunny. Who came through for you?
Ticket Fairy came through.
I came through for you for Bad... Plenty of times I've come through for you. Drake. Did I not come through for you for Drake?
And there was a WrestleMania or like wrestling thing.
Yes.
So there's been a couple. You worked out.
You were second row right in the middle for the wrestling thing.
Okay. I was on the mat.
So then there was a concert yesterday. And I'm like, oh, Aaron, how was it? How did it go? And he's like, oh, it was good. I'm like, hey, how much did the tickets cost? And he was like, oh, man, I got a hookup. I know somebody that works at T-Mobile. And then I was like, so are you going to help me? That's how the Ticket Fairy works. You know? You got to hook up. That's how the Ticket Fairy works. Nah, man, I can't give that to you yet.
You're just not ready yet. Should that be my birthday gift to you?
How do you think the Ticket Fairy works?
Should that be my birthday gift to you?
The Ticket Fairy works. It's a series of connections.
It's active.
You know somebody.
Yeah.
And then I know somebody. And then that's how we all share and share alike.
You never asked.
You know, the thing is, you or Marlo, this is the co-op. You know the co-op is we all going to go through on the same brick. So we all pay the same price. And now here you go. You're trying to be Marlo. You're trying to run at your own corner. That's not how this works.
You know what this is like? CDOT has been giving you his Hulu password for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you signed up for HBO Max. CDOT was like, hey, can you give me the hookup on that HBO? And you're like, you're not ready for that.
Wow, you would do that to me?
I just said that. It didn't feel right yet. The energy didn't feel right. You never asked. I was at Janae Aiko last night.
How was I supposed to know that you had somebody at T-Mobile Center? How was I supposed to know other than you telling me?
Because
whenever you ask me, I tell you.
I've been in the town a little bit now. You're not the only one. I'm on scholarship too, as they say.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know? All right. I see how it goes. This is a violation. This is a people's court. This is a bro code violation, and you know that's a bro code violation.
You just want to spend your birthday. You want to spend our birthday together is what I'm reading between the lines here, trying to decipher because you're like, I'm not a birthday guy.
I only asked for one thing on my birthday. I asked to go to Gold Knox. I'm going later.
Why that? Why that tradition?
There's three steakhouses I've never been to that I really wanted to go to. So Golden Ox was one of them. That was on my list. Stock Hill is another one.
Okay.
And Majestic. Those
Stock Hill was another one I was considering. I think I'm going to do Farina tonight.
Oh, you're going to Farina. Okay. All right. All right. Now people on the text line asking for the Ticket Fairy.
No, it's not a Ticket Fairy work. Doesn't work that way. I've been on
Ticket
a nice
Fairy
little run.
Really is a barter system. That's really what it is, a barter system. You have something, and then I have something. So, hey, if you give me tickets to X, Y, and Z, I'll make sure you get four tickets to Royals and Phillies on a Friday night. Oh, that's an easy trade. Share and share alike. That's the ticket fairy.
Last time I was here, y'all were like, oh, 96.5 day. We're doing this big rollout at the K. We got the hot dog race. Y'all need to pull up. And then the day came, and it was crickets. My phone was ashy.
I tried to send you tickets. You didn't want to come. I tried. I said, hey, Aaron, I got an extra ticket. Do you want to come to 96.5 the day at the K? Did you see the hot dog race? Have you seen the video?
I did see the video.
You see Nate Taylor doing it for us.
All right. What's going on? Fesco was just light jog. Did he know the intensity of this race?
I don't think so.
Looked like he didn't stretch beforehand and just tried to go out there and just, oh, couldn't finish the job.
You thought that Fesco was going to win a foot race?
I want me and you to go.
No.
Why not?
I'm 1-0 in the hot dog derby. I don't have any interest in doing the hot dog.
You don't want to race people in your own like weight class? You want to continue to go against like Cody and Gold and everything?
I never raced against them. I told you. I've done the hot dog derby one time. It was me, Hartzell, and Nate Bucati. I won. I'm 1-0. Okay. I never want to do it again.
You, Hartzell, and Nate Bucati, it's like a 3/4 of an athlete between the three.
Yeah, and I won. Damn, I never want to do it again. I did my one first pitch. I did my one hot dog derby.
The first pitch wasn't bad. What I remember. Were you on the mound, though?
Yeah, I wasn't on the rubber, though, but I was on the mound.
Okay.
I think I threw a strike.
Did they tell you rules? They were like, you can't
stay in? They just said, don't deviate too far from the playbook. Like, throw a strike, wave to the people, come back. You know, they're going to give you, color inside the lines. Don't go out there and get crazy.
You're like the Hawk Tua girl of Kansas City.
What do you think about that?
I knew she was going to get her 15 minutes.
You know what I love now? Maybe it's just I'm getting older and I just don't
Where are you going with this?
Fake outrage in the media. You saw how many people were just so mad about this. Like, why are we mad at this 22-year-old girl throwing out a first pitch? Like, when have we preserved the sanctity of the first pitch of a baseball game? Man, if y'all don't leave that little girl alone and let her throw out the first pitch at a baseball game, they have let far less people.
Do
you guys know that at the first pitch, they let more than one person do it? So it's not even really a first pitch. Like, right now, if you want to do the first pitch, you can just pay the Royals to do it.
There's like a ceremony. First pitch, and then there's
an honorary. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we fighting so hard for the first pitch? It's just stupid.
She's really a humanitarian. She was giving back, I think, to some kind of PETA close or PETA dog.
Yeah, I saw
sort
that
of thing.
I noticed this when Charles went viral, because I know Charles pretty well when he went viral for the Good Luck Chuck. People like to see you win, and then you start to win too much, and then they start to hate you. Like, in the beginning, the Hawk 2, it was funny. Like, everybody was saying it. Sure. They were making T-shirts. Yeah. Now she's still winning, and now you mad. Now you hate it. Like, wait, hold on. Now she doing this podcast, and she doing this thing. Like, she's living your best life, and people hate seeing you win on the internet. It's sick.
What does the backside of this look like for her, though?
Probably starting a podcast or going on some reality TV show. Like going on Love Island or something. Love is Blind.
Being like a bottle girl at our birthday celebration later tonight.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. I think she goes on Love Island. If I'm ABC, she needs to be the Bachelor.
Okay.
The Bachelorette.
Relax. Okay.
Why can't she be the Bachelorette? You wouldn't watch that season?
I've seen like a little taste into what her personality is. I don't think she's got a full season in her.
This is where we lost by not having MTV be a thing. Because MTV would have gave her a dating show back in 2005. And you would have watched it. It would have been incredible.
It's going to stretch into, we're already at preseason NFL season. She could be involved in a regular season football game at some point.
Her publicist need to help Drake right now. No. She has the best publicist in the game right now. I'm telling you, her publicist needs to help a lot of people right now because they are running a flawless campaign with her.
What is a favorite birthday gift you've ever gotten?
I think I got the PlayStation 2 one year on my birthday. Okay. I got Gran Turismo when that was a thing.
That's always fun.
I think that's the one I got.
You get the console and then you play the whole thing. Yeah.
No, actually, I'm going to go back. I got Pokemon Yellow. I got Pokemon Yellow one year for my birthday. I was a big Pokemon fan as a kid. And you're like, you don't remember this. Game Boy didn't always used to be in color. It used to be in black and white. So when you told me that Pikachu was finally going to be yellow, I was like, oh my God, I want this. Please get me this.
the Game Boy where you had to get the light because there was no actual backlight in the system yet. And so if you walked outside with it, you had to, it's like when your phone's on zero bright and you can't see. You can't have this thing outside.
I'm telling you, man, it was a great time. Coming up on the other side, sure. I would like to get your opinion. There's actually so many things I want to talk to you about here.
We can do some sports things.
Your
if we
Atlanta
must.
Falcons don't want to play their rookie quarterback in preseason games, which doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. Jeez. Pittsburgh has two bad quarterbacks and are surprised that they're bad at quarterback. Mm-hmm. It looks like Chicago might have a star at quarterback. There's so many things to talk about. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. Nothing excites me more than just being called washed by Aaron Ladd during the commercial break for 6 minutes.
It's over, dog. I said, can you do 20 push-ups right now?
I couldn't have done 20 push-ups at 23. I couldn't have done it then.
Then I also followed up with, could you run a mile without stopping?
You know what I was never trying to be the best at? Exercise. There was never a time in my life where that's what I wanted to be good at, exercising.
Exercise is good for your body. It's good for your mind.
I've been trying to walk more and drink more water. That's how I know I'm starting to get old. Like, I've been really making it a point. Like, hey, I want to walk a little bit more.
And you wonder why I called you washed during the break.
I've been wanting to walk a little bit more. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. The new phone number, 913-586-7965. 913-586-7965. If you were texting the old number, you are talking to yourself. I am not on there. No one is on there. No one will ever read that anymore. Please do not text the old number. Text the new one that I just gave you. Aaron Ladd is here with us. Very excited, thrilled to be talking to our dear brother, Aaron Ladd, joining us on the show.
Birthday behavior, man. Come on. Why are you doing business as usual today? You know, let loose.
It's Tuesday.
Have some fun.
This is why. I want to talk about the Chiefs, but I'll tell you why. There aren't that many significant birthdays left for me.
Oh, jeez.
There aren't that many.
Gosh, yo.
When you're, think about it. Birthdays are really big. Then you turn 10. That's a big deal when you turn 10. Then you turn 13. You're a teenager. Then 16's a really big deal. 17's a really big deal. Ain't nothing special about being 36, bro. It's Tuesday.
Every birthday
it's
matters.
Tuesday. Yeah, I agree.
You're in a great situation. A lot of people would like to wake up and be in your position. You should be thankful.
How about you?
Well, I mean, that's
what I'm saying.
I thought you woke up on this birthday and said, oh, man, that Aaron Ladd kid.
I want to be more like Aaron. If I could just go back and be Aaron Ladd, it would be great. I do want to, let's save the Chiefs stuff for the top of the hour. There's a lot of Chiefs stuff I want to get your opinion on. Let's start with, I guess, a couple of just general NFL notes that I've picked up over the course of the last couple of days or so. I love the kickoff rule.
I thought you said I need more time to evaluate it last week.
Let me tell you why I love it.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the stats? Have you seen the stats? Last year, there were 22% of the kickoffs that were returned. So far in preseason, there are 78 of them that have been returned. Now, what I need to see more is how effective it is. But you know what we are getting? More action. You can always sign me up for more action. There is no denying that it is better than the old rule. In the Super Bowl, there was not a single kick return in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I at least love it that it promotes action. Now, I don't fully understand all the rules yet, and I don't know if the teams fully understand it. So I need to see a little bit more time, but you can't deny the hard numbers. And I also think from year one, I thought it was super confusing. I think teams like Kansas City, for example, I think Kansas City is starting to figure out the rules. They were far better in their execution of the rules in week two than they were in week
Absolutely.
One.
I think that while teams are still understanding the rules, they're also understanding the best strategy to attack those rules as they currently sit. It's a moving target for the league. The league is moving around how they want this to look. And as they move that around, the teams are going to adjust their target and their strategy and how they kick the ball if it's going to be a sideways kick. I think the sideways kick has already been banned. They've already changed that and not allowed that. I think while it is, to your point, better than where we were, I still don't know if it's the best adaptation of what this play is or what it could be. I'm kind of in favor of what you brought up last time. Let's just give you the ball at the 25 and run it. It's kind of one of those things where eventually maybe we're going to throw up our hands and say, you know what, we tried, we wanted to make it fun, but maybe this just isn't an exciting and safe play in the year of our Lord 2024, and we move on.
I mean, I think there's a way to make this rule work. Like, what I love is that it clearly has promoted more action and there is more movement.
Strategy now, as well, in special teams.
Now, the thing I do want to see more is, Once we see for 4 weeks of what this looks like, I think we will have a better understanding of what tinker that they need to make. I mean, just like everything, they make improvements on things. There was an iPhone 1, and then they had an iPhone 2, and it was better. And then they kept getting better. So I do think there are tinkers to this rule that can happen that I will be very excited. Another thing that I noticed is, how did Pittsburgh sign Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and then are surprised that they don't have a good quarterback? Oof. Like that, no one is surprised by this other than them. They're the only group of people that are like, oh my goodness, how do we not have a good offense? Have you been watching football the last 2 years? No one thought you were going to be good at quarterback.
I'm still not fully out on Justin Fields yet.
But I think
where you have me out in Pittsburgh is we're taking a Justin Fields who we're still, the jury is still out, plus a Russell Wilson who's over the hill, and then giving them Arthur Smith to drive the boat, a guy who had all the skill talent in the world in Atlanta and still couldn't figure out a way to win the division or win more
than 7 games.
Desmond Ridder
at quarterback, and now he has Russell Wilson at quarterback, and so he has old Desmond Ridder.
I'm good.
Is Desmond Ridder even still in the league?
They actually got Atlanta traded him to Arizona. He's in Arizona right now, and they got Rondale Moore back in exchange.
Okay.
That was a deal that happened this offseason where people did not see that happen. It kind of reminded me of the Caruso for Josh Giddey trade in the NBA that happened this offseason.
What is Atlanta doing with their quarterback situation? Because I don't understand. I mean, Michael Penix just isn't going to play.
He played. He played in Miami and went 9 for 16.
He played the first game.
95 yards. I don't know if he had a touchdown or not, but he looked good. And the whole reason.
So why are they not playing him in the second or the third preseason?
Because if he gets hurt, it all goes out of whack.
What does it matter? He's not playing this season anyway.
See, I'm not completely in that camp.
I think there's a chance he plays?
I do think there's a chance he plays this year. And I think if he gets hurt in the preseason and Kirk gets hurt at some point or isn't the guy rebounding off an Achilles tear that you think he could be, that's when it looks like a disaster. It's like, what were you doing? But when you pair the moves that they made in the draft, yes, I know you're not in love with the Penix deal, but whatever. They have a real path to being a contender to win a championship again. With Jesse Bates, with Justin Simmons that they added in, with Matthew Judon that they added in, coming in with the skill talent they had, the Drake London, the Kyle Pitts, the Bijan Robinson, there's a path again, which is what you couldn't say under Taylor Heinicke and Desmond Ridder and that.
I don't hate their strategy. I honestly don't know what it is. Like, I would think if your plan is to sit Michael Penix because of the contract that you have with Kirk Cousins is, you know the way they say, like, in Drumline, halftime is game time? Man, preseason is a Super Bowl for Michael Penix. Hmm. Then play him in these games and get him valuable reps that you can't give him over the course of the regular season. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me to draft a quarterback in the top 10. He has no true pathway to starting for the next couple years. Or you're going to take a significant hit financially, and then you're not going to give him all the reps that you possibly can. I just don't understand their strategy and what they're trying to do. All right, coming up on the other side, let's talk all Chiefs in this next segment. There's a lot of stuff I want to get to. What do you think about the wide receiver bubble? The left tackle conversation, I believe, is over with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sure. Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to make the team?
Gosh.
There's a lot going on right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get your thoughts on it. The sports director over at KSHB 41 News, Aaron Ladd, joining us in studio. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.